Some of you are visiting, and some of you may not know. Newcomers have been here for a while, but might not know. I've been here since 1986, and was in this pulpit for 25 years, and occasionally since 2010, I get to speak, and that's a great privilege. And I don't take it lightly to be here. For so many years, it was my life. But 25 years here means two things. It means, number one, that there are some people here that are really gracious and long-suffering. Just for fun, how many here were here in 1986 when I first came? That's the elect multitude. What, 5, 6, 7, 8, and Miss Carol, who's not here. You know, I'm just, at least I thought it was a good 25 years. These people are really great. Some of them would come back one Sunday after another, you know, and how that works. But the second thing is, that means roughly somewhere between 2,400 and 2,500 times speaking from here. That's a lot, right? And what that means is I've said probably about everything that I can possibly say. I mean, really, to stand up in front of a group of people for 2,500 times and preach, not that I've exhausted Scripture, but I've kind of exhausted my understandings of it. Talk about theology. Some basic theology, and talk about history. We talk about Christian living. We've talked about the church. We've just, you name it, in 2,500 times we've talked about it. And when Brad asked me to speak, to be here today in his absence, kind of wondered what's there left for me to say. What can I say to you today that will be profitable, especially for those who have heard it for, if not all 25 years, many, many years? And that's been a challenge to me. What do I know biblically, maybe, or somehow that you could profit from knowing today? And as I was praying about this and thinking about it and just recalling something maybe I read and stuff, Psalm 71 really came to mind, and that's why we asked to have it read. Psalm 71 is a psalm of an old man. He's kind of recalling, but he still has life. He's still living. He's in the midst of life with enemies. He's coming into old age. And he's just kind of appealing to God on the basis of his history. He's reminiscing how it was, how it is now, how it will be in the future. It just kind of struck a chord in me. Now, you have to remember there's one thing about old men, and there's probably only a half a dozen people here in this congregation that are older than me today, really. What we do best is reminisce, right? Back in my day, right? You ever hear that? And your eyes roll back in your head, oh, here we go again. 1940s in Chicago. Anybody here from 1940 in Chicago? There we go. Clarence and I, we're kinsmen. We really are, Clarence. I remember picking up the telephone, and you'd hear this little voice say, "Hello, Central." And you'd say, "Give me number 389." And, okay, and there was number 38. I mean, that's telephone in Chicago. I remember back in the 60s, and you know, in my Sunday school class especially, the 60s were just between 59 and 69. I mean, that's what we do. See, it's sort of like when you get to a certain point, that's what you have left is you have how you, you know, what you have left is what you did. And the psalmist, here is talking about that. He says, Lord, I've had enemies and you've destroyed them and you keep on doing it, please. But, you know, really, see. And it's a great psalm of deliverance. You can take it for that I have enemies now and there will be enemies in the future. And my hope is in you. And please deliver me like you've done it in the past. And so it's a combination, see. But the verses that stuck out to me as Psalm 71 came to my mind were just verses 17 and 18. Now, you don't need to turn it. I'll read them to you. But let me just read 17 and 18. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation. And I read those two verses and I said, hey, at least I have that left. Old and gray, old man. But I can say, Lord, don't forsake me until I tell you, next generation, about the greatness of God. And I said, well, at least I can do that. I won't be repeating myself too much. I won't be going back to all my 2,500 messages and pull one out of Romans or something like that. I said, God, I can stand before this congregation. Some friends, some people don't even know me, but I can tell them about your greatness as one who can look back at 75 years of the Lord. See? And so today what I want to do is I just want to simply do that. I want to tell you about God. With the goal, perhaps, that someday you'll be able to say the same things to the next generation if the Lord doesn't come back. And when we talk about God, we're not going to be theology 101. We're not going to talk about the sovereignty of God and his omnipresence and omniscience and his infinity and his eternality. And we're not going to talk about those kind of categories. We're not going to talk about God even like in Psalm 45 where it says, my heart overflows with a good theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men, fairest Lord Jesus. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. We're not going to just talk about the beauties of the Lord. I'm going to do something that's kind of dangerous. And I've never done it before. Maybe never will do it again. But I'm going to talk about my life with God. 75 years of God to share with you today. And I understand there's a danger in that when I talk about my life, anybody talks about their life, that the focus becomes on me. And some of you know a little bit about my history, and you know the first 29 years, at least interesting. And maybe exciting. But if I share details, don't get hung up on the details because remember, those years, those are details of an unbeliever. And whatever it sounds like, the good, the bad, the indifferent, the unbelievable maybe, remember Romans chapter 6 is a chapter, some verses for unbelievers, for me, verse 20 and 21, where as a slave to sin, Paul asks the question, What benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. So as I share some, perhaps a few personal things, just remember the details are, it's the way to die. It's the way to shame. And so we don't get hung up on, boy, that was really something. But God is gracious and merciful, and the life, the first 29 years, dying in shame, brought me to where I am today. You see, they're part of God's working with me, so that's the only reason we can use them. So what I want to do is use my life as an outline and share with you God. My God, even as Psalm 71 says even when I am old and gray, don't forsake me until I declare your greatness, your strength to this generation. And that's what we hope we can do a little bit today. And we're going to use really not Psalm 71, that's just a motivation, but we're going to use Psalm 23, and you know Psalm 23. Let me read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. And you could sit on that verse for the rest of your life. Notice it doesn't say the Lord will be or the Lord came to be. It's just a statement of fact. The Lord is my shepherd. And this is a relationship that started a long time ago. Ephesians said he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. So go back as far as you want to go, and the verse still holds. He is my shepherd, see? Before time, he knew me. He sent me out then to be one of his sheep. Now, granted, I couldn't have cared less, really. Not open rebellion exactly. I'm trying to water me down a little bit, but just ignored. Started on my own path. By the way, Isaiah 53 says sheep have a tendency to wander and do their own way. But you know my story, some of you at least. Mother died when I was 12. My father remarried at 16, and I left home. And 17, just walked away. And ended up in New York, got married. There are some good things that come out of New York, by the way. Worked for IBM. Worked for General Dynamics, ended up working for the CIA, made my life, did it my way, and it was different anyhow. Then in 1969, I was returning from a business trip in northern Laos, and my life was a pit. It really was. Details are irrelevant. It was a living death. And I'll never forget the morning, it will, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, been up all night. And I cried out, Lord, I'm dying. Save me. And he did. And an amazing truth came to mind after that when I started to think of the wonders of salvation. See, after all those years of dying and shame in my life, I finally realized what had been all along, even in those 29 years. He is my shepherd. All those years, could have been dead a lot of times, maybe should have been dead a lot of times, but I was still alive. And I realized I have always been his sheep. Always. And now what that means is all I have to do is be a sheep. And when I thought I was on my own for all those years, I was really in his care as a shepherd to his sheep. And all I have to do now is just be a sheep. I don't have to fight for survival any longer. I don't have to pick my own career path. I don't have to do things my way. I don't have to worry about my rights or my property or my future. See, I just have to be a sheep, and that suffices. And the first thing as an old man I would declare to you as the next generation is that that's a good way to live. The Lord is my shepherd. And you know what a shepherd does. It's a real simple. And don't get hung up on the technical effects. I read a book once, a shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm, and he analyzed all the things that the Lord was doing in terms of what he did with his sheep down in South Africa, I think it was, or something. And yeah, that's the shepherd cares for his sheep. That's all. That's all the shepherd does. He cares for his sheep. And how it works out, whatever it takes, he does. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we could, looking back, I could say, I never did want. Looking ahead, I never will want. I don't want now. I lack nothing. Because the Lord is my shepherd, see. And that's the basic relationship between me and God now. I am a sheep. He is my shepherd. And the first thing I would declare to you is the Lord is my shepherd. Verse 2 talks about some of the things he does for his sheep. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, it doesn't say he leads me to green pastures. It says he makes me lie down in them. Where I might want to run and jump and maybe wander off or, you know, look for something. But he says, no, lie down. Green pastures. He causes me to lie down. And I don't know about your life, but every now and then my life has had those periods when I've just been living in a desert. Rocks and heat and scorpions and stuff. And deserts are not nice to live in, at least to my way of thinking. But then the Lord, my shepherd, comes and makes me lie down in green pastures. And still waters. He doesn't lead me to Niagara Falls and say, now you just get out there and get a drink, you know. He leads me beside still waters to refresh and to quench my thirst. And by the way, if you've never lived in a desert, I don't know if I should. You haven't lived. I mean, the world is. Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And I can remember times when it just drying up and saying, where is water? And the Lord refreshes me. And again, I would declare God to you that as a shepherd, He feeds you and He quenches your thirst. End of this week. Guess where I am today, right? The fellowship of the saints on a Sunday morning. Is that refreshing after a tough week? Is that good and feeding and refreshing? The teaching of the word, is that refreshing? It does that every week, among other things. We can sing, Fairest Lord Jesus, or The King of Love My Shepherd Is, or maybe we can sing, Jesus, Your Name. It refreshes, He feeds. And this is just one aspect for a number of years, how He refreshes and feeds me. And that's what my shepherd does, see. He does that to His sheep because that's what shepherds do. And verse 3 says, He restores my soul. Now, when you read that little phrase, you have to realize, what's that all about? And I just stand in front of you and say, hey, there are times when your world collapses on you. When all of a sudden everything just goes, you just, you know. You have a job or you have a lack of it. You have school, grades, or lack of it. You have friends or lack of friends. You have wife. And you get drained real fast, suddenly. And you just your life goes out from you, and it's just like your heart is beating physically, but there's nothing inside. See, and my world's been dark at times, and the soul, the inside, is just empty and shattered, and just nothing. And then my shepherd says, "Hey, look out the window." And I look out the window, and believe it or not, the sun comes up in the east every single day. And God is still faithful to His word and to His covenant and to His people. And we hear Isaiah or Jeremiah saying to us, the Lord's loving kindnesses never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And we can sing, it is well with my soul. Not my soul is dead, but it is well with my soul. And I say to you from my 75 years, whatever your life and whatever you're going through and whatever load and whatever's crushing and whatever's just ripping your soul from you and you're empty inside, if you're His sheep, He restores you. I can testify to that. And I would declare the greatness of my God to you today, that He restores souls. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And that's kind of a neat concept. There's more to being sheep than just laying around in green pastures and drinking still waters and, you know. We're living and we're going and we're doing. But did you ever ask yourself, why this particular path? How did I get here? You know, you trace your life. And so I'm going like this, and my life is here and here and here, and then I did this. And why that path to get me here today, see? Could I have picked a better way to live? Could I have done something different in my first 29 years or in my last, whatever they are, 46 years, 47 years? And the answer is no. As his sheep, he leads me. And it's not just because he loves me, but he, and I'm thankful for that, by the way, but he chose me as his sheep. He leads me as his shepherd. And the path that he leads me on is the right path. Righteousness and right are the same word. Even though sometimes I might lapse back into being a wayward sheep, but we'll talk about that. But he leads me in the paths that he chose, and my life goes like this, from this place to this place to this place, and jumped all over. And Bern and I moved 19 different times. We've lived in 19 different places. Why? And it's because as his sheep, I have his name. My life and my direction and my situations and the happenings are ultimately for his name's sake. See, not my name's sake, but his name's sake. See, he uses me as an example of him. And I don't have to be concerned with what people think of me. My concern is, what do they think of my shepherd? See, it's his name here. He says, hey, you want to know about me? Look at my sheep. And we find out that he cares and he shepherds and he feeds and he restores. Look at my sheep. And we find out about him by looking at me. And so when I get puzzled, why did things happen the way they did and why do things happen the way they do, I say, somehow, Lord, it's your name, your reputation, not my reputation, not my accomplishments, not my name, his name. And by the way, that takes all the pressure off of life. See? I don't have to be something great. I just have to be a sheep. See. And I don't have to make sure people know me. I just have to make sure they know my shepherd. That's all. Which is a secondary issue. You want to know how he leads you, ask him. You know, he'll tell you. He has ways of making his way clear for you. But it's a neat way to live. See. His name. But, you know, when you say all these things, and it sounds, so far it's been kind of warm and fuzzy. He's my shepherd. He cares for me. He feeds me. He waters me properly. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. But we realize we're living in a tough world as his sheep. And you got to be a realist. Christians ought to be the most realistic people in the world. Life in the world is not easy, and sometimes it's not just hard, but it's not even safe. And I have found, at times in my life, been in enemy territory. And the world is against us, and it can be dangerous, and sheep have no defense mechanisms. But when you say that, you read verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And by the way, you do what you want when you die, that's fine. But Psalm 23 is not a psalm of death. Don't. Just do me a favor, if I'm still around, don't use it at your funeral. It's not about death. It's about living. And the valley of the shadow of death is not I'm walking through. It's the valley of dark shadows. It's just dangerous times in your life. That's what it's talking about. I don't want to spoil your funeral. But even though I walk in dark valleys, I fear no evil. Remember that a number of years ago, the big slogan was no fear, and you'd see it on cars and all that. These kids ride, and they have the foggiest idea what's going on. They ride around in their cars. No fear. Well, I was afraid of them because, hey, I didn't know that all my life. Just one of my favorite experiences. In a town in Laos called Savannakhet, and doing some stuff. I had to get back to Vientiane, which is the capital of Laos, and Vientiane was a fairly safe place working out of the embassy. And so they had set it up. I would just go down this road. There's a field at the end of the road. A plane was going to be there. They'd fly me back to Vientiane. Anybody can do that. The catch was it was at 3 in the morning. And so I'm driving down this road through the jungle at 3 in the morning, and the only lights are my two headlights. And the jungle is dark. And you're wondering, what's out there? I'm just a moving target. And the path at Lao is somewhere around there, and, whatever. And I'm thinking, by the way, while I was on this trip, just to set it up, nobody knew where I was. I mean, I couldn't tell anybody. I couldn't even tell Bern. And she was at home. She was 8 months pregnant. And they would call every so often from the office, from the lab, and say, hey, don't worry. We just heard John's still alive. That was to encourage her. Anyway, we're driving down this road, and I'm thinking, a guy could die doing this, and nobody would even find my body when they got done. See? So got to the end of the road. It's pitch black. There's a field. There's a plane sitting on the field, little plane, teeny-weeny little plane. And a guy walks out of the woods, doesn't speak a word of English. At least he didn't speak English to me. Just, starts a plane, gets in it, and I'm thinking, well, okay, so I'll get in it. We took off, and I'm thinking, that was really brilliant. I don't know whether I'm going to Vientiane or to Hanoi. You know, a little difference. But the sun came up and we were in Vientiane and all was well. And it wasn't until later that I found out I wasn't in danger at all, right? Nothing to fear. I might have died, but nothing to fear because my shepherd was there. Hey, and I fear no evil. By the way, you know what? I really do fear no evil. I drove my car to church this morning, and that's a dangerous way to travel, isn't it? I mean, do you ever think of that? That's a dangerous way to travel. See? But even spiritual danger, what's out there attacking me? What's out there tempting me? What is Satan marshaling against me to destroy me spiritually? And I don't even know sometimes. I remember Brad preached a message probably a couple of months ago, and he just said, we don't even know at the end of the day what the Lord has protected us from. Because he doesn't give us a list. I said, save you from this, this. We just don't know. We just know we got through another day, see. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and you, your rod and your staff, whatever means the shepherd needs to keep me safe in his plan, he has. In 75 years that I'm still okay, right? That's all a sheep says is, I'm okay. Shepherd protects me. And verse 5 goes on, and it's, we live in a bad world, but the interesting thing happens to his sheep in a real bad world. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. That's a picture. It kind of changes the figure here from a sheep, a flock of sheep out in a field to somebody at a banquet. See? And surrounded by all this seeking to destroy us, he says, let's eat. And he prepares a banquet table for me in this world. And he seats me down and he treats me as something special. He anoints my head with oil, and that's a sign of us as a special guest. See, a special guest. And he gives me an overflowing cup. That's you get more than enough, a special guest. He says, hey, you are special in this world. See. There's no such thing as just a run-of-the-mill sheep. He has only special sheep. Regardless of what the world thinks of us, and you can read in the New Testament, especially this, despised and this and this and this, and then we think we're foolish and whatever. And the Lord says, I'll set you at this table in the middle of all that. And I'll anoint your head with oil, and your cup will run over, and you're a special sheep because you're my sheep. And Psalm 23 is my declaration to you of my God, the God of me as a sheep. He cares for me. He supplies my needs. He restores me. He leads me in right paths. He protects from danger. He treats me as a special person. And at my age, I would say to you, not my age, I said, that's the only way to live. See? It's not just a good way to live. It's the only way to live. And I know from my history, I know how to die, see. And I spent too long in dying. And I'm thankful for the years he's given me as living. And I would declare to you that God, that shepherd. And the neat thing is how verse 6 just summarizes it. Surely goodness and loving kindness, some translate it mercy, will follow me all the days of my life. God's goodness, and sometimes we get the impression that God is not so very good. He's hard, he can be a little bit tough, he can be hurtful sometimes and do things that I don't like or want and whatnot. His goodness follows me. And his mercy or his loving kindness or his faithful love or his covenant loyalty, whatever you want to do with that word, chesed, it's just a real broad word, but it has to do with how God deals faithfully with his people. Just his people. He doesn't use chesed to the rest of the world. It's our language. It's our word, see? And do I see it, and do I know it, and do I believe it, and do I appreciate it? That's what a sheep does. He might not even be aware of it, but at the end of the day, he says, that wasn't a bad day. See? Goodness and mercy. And then maybe the top it off. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And maybe the greatest word in that phrase is forever. This is the rest of time for me. This is the rest of eternity for me. With him, see. So, enough said. I hope you get the picture that I'm trying to give you today. Not my life. It just the way of transgressors is hard in my life. But the way of sheep is not bad at all, right? The way of sheep is not bad at all. His name and His glory and His power and His goodness. And that's the life of a sheep with the sheep's God. And, you know, for the, you know, I just kind of renewed maybe my own determination such to take every opportunity in the rest of my life to make sure that the next generation knows about my shepherd, how great he is, how good he is. And you know, remember the biblical character Jacob, and we kind of think Jacob wasn't, you know, Jacob was this, that, and the other thing, he had his problems and whatnot. When he's dying, now if I live to be Jacob's age, I got another 50, 60 years, so good luck. But is good luck a good thing for Christians to say? Probably not. But Jacob calls his son Joseph. Hey, Joseph, your father's dying. Joseph brings his two boys, Manasseh and Ephraim, to Jacob. And here's this man, and he's had a tough life, and half of his tough life is his own makings. And you know the story of Jacob with Esau and working for Laban and all that stuff. And when Pharaoh asked Jacob how old he was, he said, I'm 137 or 139 years, and few and evil have they been. You know, Jacob really had a tough life. But here's his last words. May the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has protected me from all harm, may he bless you. And he's blessing Ephraim and Manasseh. And I guess that's the way I would close as a, now maybe I'm not ready to die yet. Tomorrow? I don't know. But may the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has protected me from all harm, may he bless you. And that's what I would leave with you today, this declaration of God who is my shepherd. And I would trust that he would be your shepherd too. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, our shepherd here, we just thank you for who you are. Thank you for who we are. That we are privileged to be your sheep, to be under your care. I thank you for your care for me. I have wanted nothing. I want nothing. I pray for this group, that we individually, each one here, could experience your care for them. Be pleased to bless them in that way, Father, today. Thank you, Father, in your name. Amen.